Laudato Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Wednesday, July 3rd, Pope Francis meets with a group of migrants in the Casa Santa Marta. As British voters head to the polls, a Catholic aid agency calls for active engagement in politics. And Lebanon's Maronite Archbishop laments the violent situation near the southern border as Hezbollah and Israel trade blows. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins. Despite reducing his activities in the month of July, Pope Francis has taken the time to meet with a group of migrants in the Casa Santa Marta. The group included authors from Senegal and Gambia who have written books about their struggles in search of a new home. Christopher Wells reports.
Pope Francis' meeting with migrants on Tuesday afternoon was not the first such encounter. Each, however, follows a similar pattern, and each time a great moment of grace is repeated. A group of migrants visited Casa Santa Marta to get to know a man that they see as a father and a shepherd to all, in the words of Don Mattia Ferrari, who accompanied the group. The central figures in Tuesday's meeting were two young people, Ibrahim Lo, who came from Senegal, and Ebrima Kouyaté, originally from Gambia, who both journeyed through Libya to come to Europe. Among the rest of the group meeting with Pope Francis were Stefano Croci, the director of Migrantes Capri, Giulia Bassoli, a volunteer from the same section, and Luca Casarini, founder and mission leader of Mediterranea Saving Humans, and a special guest of the Synod of Bishops, along with Sister Adriana Domenici, a consecrated sister of Spintime Labs in Rome. Father Mattia explained that Pope Francis wanted to listen to the stories of migrants and to thank everyone for what they do and what they live, and he encouraged them to keep going. One of those stories came from Pato, who had already met with Pope Francis in November 2023. The death from thirst of Pato's wife Fatih and daughter Marie as they crossed the desert last year struck consciences around the world. Similar stories of hellish experiences, though, were mixed with stories of hope that migrants wanted to share with Pope Francis. Their experiences, including the welcome received by these young people, Father Mattia said, demonstrates that whether at sea or on land, when we rescue or welcome the poor, the migrants, it is they who are saving us. And he continued, it shows that in the love and in the fraternity that one lives with the poor, with migrants, one actually experiences salvation. I'm Christopher Wells.
Britain's general election on Thursday, July 4th, is widely expected to lead to a change of government for the first time in 14 years. Analysts have said it will be one of the country's most consequential elections since the end of World War II. In the run-up to the vote, CAFOD, the Catholic aid agency of the Bishops' Conference of England and Wales, has launched a campaign urging Catholic voters to actively engage with the political process. Neil Thorns, director of advocacy for CAFOD, spoke to Linda Bordoni about the campaign to remind citizens to cast their ballots with the common good in mind. He said the web and social media campaign has highlighted the need to answer Pope Francis's call for a better kind of politics.
Pope Francis has reminded us frequently in Laudato Si and in other of his documents. He thinks that politics is a noble vocation. People should be drawn to it for the right reasons. And I think for us, that's about engaging the Catholic community in England and Wales to be able to raise their voice and to raise their voice in some of the issues which we care about. So about how you can work for the common good, how you can make sure that the poorest are at the heart of any of the kind of conversations. And I should say that CAFOD has been working with the St. Vincent de Paul Society in the UK to bring that UK domestic poverty angle, if you like, as well as the international. So we are very much thinking about our brothers and sisters in the UK, but also globally as well.
You actually have a separate little box with a photo of Pope Francis and quite a few of his quotes mentioning calls that he's made to politicians. Have you had any kind of response from people who read your site or follow you on social media?
We have. I think the response from the Catholic community, so the people who would be supporting us, has been really positive, you know, and I think they look at the politics around them and some of the issues which are raised by politicians aren't always the issues which they care about. So I think there's been a lack of conversation, for example, with this election around the climate crisis. And actually for our supporters, we know that that's an issue for them because, A, they're concerned about it for the impacts on the poorest people. But, you know, Pope Francis has reminded us that this is one of the greatest challenges of our time. And when we look about how we tackle that climate crisis, we both have to look outside of our own self-interest. And that's very much what he calls politicians to do, to look outside of their short-term self-interested and to look for the global common good, because that's the only way we are going to tackle the crisis that we see in front of us, which is harming the poorest, you know, whether that's overseas or whether that's amongst our own communities.
That was Neil Thorns, Director of Advocacy for CAFOD, speaking to Linda Bordoni. In Haiti, Father Emmanuel Santé-Liat, who was kidnapped on Sunday, has been released by the bandits who attacked the municipality of Gressier and killed 20 people. The Archdiocese of Port-au-Prince confirmed his release, calling on Haitian authorities to end the cycle of violence and restore the right to life. Thaddeus Jones has the story.
Father Emmanuel Santé-Liat, parish priest of St. John the Baptist Church, was kidnapped last Sunday by gang members who attacked the area in the metropolitan region of the capital Port-au-Prince, the municipality of Gressier. The Archdiocese of Port-au-Prince confirmed his release from his captors, according to media sources, and no ransom was paid. At least 20 people were killed in Sunday's violence by armed gangs of the group Vivre Ensemble, led by the former police officer Jimmy Cherizier. The group's leader is known to be behind chaos in the country and the call for the resignation of then-Premier Ariel Henry in March. In Gressier, armed groups burnt homes and caused panic within the community, despite the presence of the Kenyan-led peacekeeping contingent for several days now. The police have now regained control of the station. The Archdiocese of Port-au-Prince issued a communique on Monday expressing indignation and sadness for the situation that represents a type of imprisonment in the spiral of evil, they termed it, gripping Haitian society. The statement denounces what happened in Sunday's attack, decrying the unspeakable acts of deadly violence. The statement also praised Father Santé-Liat, who never abandoned the community he serves, it noted, and who's always ready to assist others. The Archdiocese of Port-au-Prince also said the incident testified that some areas of the metropolitan region of Port-au-Prince are still beyond the control of public security services, and expressing indignation in the face of these acts that deliberately violate the rights of members of the population and reaffirming its closeness to all the victims and their families. The communique recalls the critical importance of state authorities in urgently taking action to put an end to this reality of violence, it describes, and reestablish the right to life and safety in the country. That is Jones.
Lebanon is grappling with a renewed armed conflict in its southern regions due to the ongoing war in Gaza. As the conflict threatens to spread to Lebanon, the Maronite Archbishop of Tyre has prayed for peace and support for Catholics in the country. Linda Bordoni has more.
The southern area of Lebanon, close to the border with Israel, is experiencing daily rocket fire as Hezbollah and Israel trade attacks. The situation has compounded the hardships caused by Lebanon's spiraling economic crisis that began in 2019. Archbishop Sharbel Abdallah, the Maronite Archbishop of Tyre, recently spoke to Aid to the Church in Need about the dire situation. Most people who had fled to Beirut or further north have now returned because they were short of money, he said, adding that their relatives were unable to accommodate so many people. He described massive destruction in specific areas and noted that the parishes of Alma al-Shaeb and Kuzah are nearly empty, having suffered extensive damage, as have nearby homes in the area. Marielle Boutros, project coordinator for ACN in Lebanon, noted that the global focus on Gaza has overshadowed the fact that an armed conflict is also unfolding in southern Lebanon. Archbishop Abdallah highlighted the severe impact of the conflict on agriculture, a vital source of income for the region. He further lamented the lack of governmental support, saying the state is completely absent. Despite the ongoing danger, the church in Lebanon, he said, remains a steadfast pillar of support for the affected communities. We try to keep the spiritual life of the parishes going by celebrating all the usual festivities, he concluded, and added, please pray for us. Pray that this war in the Middle East may end as quickly as possible. I'm Linda Bordoni.
The Catholic Bishops' Conference of Japan recently launched a new book entitled Behold, It Was Very Good, An Invitation to Integral Ecology. The book seeks to address the urgent environmental challenges highlighted during Pope Francis's 2019 visit to Japan, which was themed Protecting All Life. It draws inspiration from the Pope's encyclical Laudato Si, and under the guidance of Bishop Daisuke Narui, the Laudato Si desk has been pivotal in its development. The text seeks to foster a deeper understanding and action towards environmental issues. And finally, Archbishop Edgar Peña Parra, the substitute of the Secretariat of State, is due to appear at the British High Court in London on July 4th through the 8th. He will testify in a trial brought by a man convicted by the Vatican Tribunal regarding the Vatican's purchase and sale of the property on Sloane Avenue in Chelsea. Sister Rosalind Wafula has the story.
8 months have passed since the conclusion of the Vatican trial regarding the purchase and sale of the London property on Sloane Avenue. 10 defendants were convicted for crimes ranging from fraud to corruption. Now, the issue has been taken up at a trial at His Majesty's High Court of Justice in England. The British trial began on June 24th, following a civil complaint by Raffaele Mincione, a financier convicted in the Vatican trial. He was sentenced to over 5 years imprisonment and permanent disqualification from public office. Mincione is seeking recognition in the UK High Court that he acted in good faith in the transactions with the Holy See for the London property. The Secretariat of State, however, has always contested the inflated price of the property and the special powers Mincione acquired in the various transactions. The Vatican purchased a 45% interest in the former Harrods warehouses in the prestigious part of London. In the trial, the Holy See claimed the property was overvalued to a tune of 50 to 100 million euros. On Thursday, the Vatican substitute of the Secretariat of State, Archbishop Edgar Parra, will appear at the High Court as a witness on the Holy See's behalf. Attorneys for the Secretariat of State have prepared an 84-page defense memorandum. The document notes the timing of Mincione's complaint when the financier was under investigation by the Vatican's judicial authority. It upholds the Vatican's trials process and result, noting that 55 witnesses were heard. The brief notes that Mincione's complaint avoids mention of the property's overvaluation and the damage it caused. Therefore, it concludes the Secretariat of State's case in this trial is based on a combination of documentary evidence and issues that will need to be addressed to Mincione and others in cross-examination. I am Sister Rosalind Wambani Wafula.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, please visit vaticannews.va. And don't forget to catch our latest updates on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Many thanks go to Bruno Orti in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Devin Watkins.